Welcome to the Celtic Myth Pod Show, bringing the tales and stories of the ancient Celts to your fireside.
Episode 51, The Two Temptations. Hello, I'm Gary.
And I'm Ruth. Welcome to the ninth episode in the saga of Branwen.
Ninth episode?
Yeah, wow.
That means there's only another three more shows to go after this one. Has it gone quickly?
It has. It's probably because we're doing weekly shows. But when we release the next branch of the Mabinogi, we'll go back to monthly releases again.
Hang on a minute. We haven't even written that one yet.
I'm sure we'll get there, though.
Yeah, we will. We will. Let's remind folks of the contact details. If you'd like a chat or to contact us or leave us any feedback, we'd love to hear from you. And you can email us at CelticMythShow@gmail.com.
And of course, you can always leave us some voice feedback using the SpeakPipe widgety thing on our website at CelticMythPodShow.com. We'd really like to hear from you.
And you can find the show notes for this episode at CelticMythPodShow.com/temptations. There. Do we have any news and views?
Well, funny you should say that.
So what have you got?
Well, this is quite interesting. In 2018, we had a heatwave here in England. And analysis by the Royal Commission on Ancient Historical Monuments of Wales of aerial photographs taken in 2018 across Wales of scorched crop marks uncovered about 200 ancient sites during the drought.
Really?
Mm.
Fascinating that is. That was 2 years ago, though.
Back it in was.
2018.
It was. It's taken them this long to have a look through.
Ah.
But apparently they haven't looked through all of them yet. What's interesting is an aerial investigator said that the new research published in Britannia showed the Roman military machine coming to rural Wales. And experts say that the Roman finds are key pieces in the jigsaw to understand how Wales was conquered and dominated 2,000 years ago by the Romans.
Mm.
Mm. Researcher Toby Driver said the discoveries turn everything we know about the Romans on its head, which is quite interesting, isn't it?
I wonder how. I wonder how it turns it on its head.
I know. I'm curious to see what else.
Yeah, I'd love to know what they come up with.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what they come up
with. And it's all very interesting, especially as it seems to link in with our story.
I know. That's why I thought it was so interesting.
Mm, definitely something to keep an eye on. And links to the article that this has come from can be found in the show notes at CelticMythPodShow.com/temptations.
Yes, I should keep an eye on that. Now, can you remind us what happened in the last episode?
Absolutely. He held up his hand for silence and said,
"Ho now, what is this, my little feathered friend? What news do you have for me?"
"Bran the Blessed. Branwen is a prisoner in the kitchens and beaten every day."
The ships were abandoned and they stepped onto the slimy rocks and waded through fields of rotted trees, their own weight toppling them into murky waters. They waded for as long as they could, becoming more and more unsure of their final direction amongst the swamp-like sunken trees, until there was a ripple of worry and uncertainty shivering the mighty host.
"Lady Branwen, what do you suppose this vision means?"
"Although I'm no lady, sirs, I do know what this vision is. Your swineherds have seen the men of the Island of the Mighty coming over to Erin. That is the face of my brother, who is in great wrath. The two legs, one on either side of the ridge, are his eyes as he stares towards Erin in his anger. Now run, little men, for my brother is coming."
"We need an advantage to beat this giant of a man. Has anyone got any ideas?"
"They far outnumber us, my lord."
"I know that.
The best advice we can think of is to withdraw across the River Clinan and let the river be between you and him. Then destroy the bridge that's on that river."
We will all drown crossing this river. Do you want to make sacrifices of us all? We need a bridge.
He is right, my lord. We do need a bridge. What is your counsel concerning this bridge?
I have none, except that whoever will be a chief, then let him be a bridge. I myself will be the bridge.
When the sun creeps over the horizon and spreads a wan light over the shadowy woods and fields, when the birds start to waken and lift the air and our hearts with pure and scintillating birdsong, when the dew falls moisture, fills our lungs and the fresh chill of the day wakes us with the kiss of a gentle breeze, that is when the half-seen promise of a new day fills us with joy and excitement as we slip from our sleeping furs. So it was with Bran, who stood painfully outside his pavilion, his wound throbbing as the blood rushed to his torn groin, and he watched the early morning half-light shaking the last shreds of the night's dreams from his head. As he stood watching the tree line, the clamour of men's voices shattered his peace, and he turned to look for the source of the disturbance. A small group of Irish warriors were approaching his guards with shields held above their heads, their bosses pointing to the sky. Their tremulous voices were suing for peace and asking to talk to the High King, Bran the Blessed.
Let them enter!
Bran called out and then made for a long, wide trestle table. He invited the messengers to sit with him to break their fast. Manawydan and his other brothers came to sit by him and to hear what the Irish messengers had to say to Bran. They all watched the nervous Irish lords who sat in front of the king.
Greetings, noble king.
We bring you salutations from King Mofulla, your kinsman.
And what does that red popinjay have to say?
He wishes you nothing but good, my lord king.
You have fought hard to bring us to this point, my lord, and our king does not wish to cause any further bloodshed. He suggests that your nephew, your sister's son, be given sovereignty over all of Erin in compensation for the hurt and injury that was done to Branwen.
He will grant Gwen the kingship in your presence, lord, either here or in the Island of the Mighty. He begs that you accept his offer, wherever you choose to have the boy crowned.
Bran stood abruptly, pushing the table over in his haste. The Irishmen took a step backwards away from the angry king.
These terms are not acceptable. I could take the kingship for myself if I wanted. And what fate should befall Matholoch? I will take counsel about your message, but I can promise you this. Until I hear a better offer of terms, you will not get another answer from me until my council has made a decision.
We will come back to you with the best offer we can, lord, but please stay your hand and wait for our tidings.
I will wait, provided you come back quick enough.
The Irish men walked away with their heads held high, but their hearts were low in their chests. It was not long before the troop of Irish warriors, with heads hung low and their noble brows furrowed in consternation, made their way before the Irish king, Matholoch the Red, who sat lounging on his newly made throne. He lifted his eyes eagerly and beheld their sorrowful faces. The king grew at first wrathful and then concerned, for he could guess the answer that Bendigeidvran had made to the Irish proposition.
Come forward, my friends, and tell me of the answer that the King Bran has made to us.
Lord, you must prepare a better message to Bendigeidvran.
What? But I am offering to step down in favour of his sister's son, now grown into a fine young man. How can you refuse my offer?
He will not listen to our message and your offer.
We needs must make him a better offer, my lord king.
My dear friends, what may be your counsel?
Lord, there is no counsel but one that we can think of for you. Never before has he been contained in a house. Do you remember when we were in Wales and the mighty Bran and his host were camped in tents because there was no house big enough to house him and his court?
We could build the house so that it contained him and all of the men of the Island of the Mighty on one side and you and your host on the other. Never has such a house been seen in all our long and noble history.
That's true. It would be a place he could call his own in our fair fields.
And he has been wounded, my lord.
Wounded? How serious is his wound?
It is grievous indeed, and he has been torn badly. From the smell, I would say the wound was caused by a poisoned weapon as well, my lord.
Not that any would say, but it would seem that his manhood has suffered a terrible wound.
Making him unfit to rule, then? He would have to step down as king.
Exactly so, my lord, and with a foothold on Erin's green shores and the offer of yourself as a client king of his, swearing him your allegiance.
A foothold in a house that can house him? Something that he has never had before?
Then he would agree to our peace terms and make peace with us.
Remember the Iron House, my king.
That would never work on one so wise as the Blessed Bran.
But something else might, my lord.
The Irish ambassadors made their way along the sludgy mud path through the tall trees towards the camp of Bran the Blessed. Branwen walked with them, with her head bowed. She trudged through the mud, her soft leather boots getting heavier and heavier. Her heart lifted slightly as she saw the men of the Islands of the Mighty guarding the spikes of the perimeter of the camp of Bran, and a bright light seemed to shine from her, illuminating the faces of the glum Irish that accompanied her. She scanned the faces, looking for her friends from Wales, friends whose lives had touched hers in so many ways in what seemed like a generation ago. As the guards along the palisade let the ambassadorial party through, she spotted the giant form of her brother Bran sitting down in a throne, wearing a loose shirt and carrying bandages that were soaked in blood. She noticed that her other brothers stood around the mighty king. There stood the elder Manawydan, face full of compassion, the twins Nisien and Evnisien, and the younger warrior she didn't recognise until he spoke.
"Aunt Branwen, it's so good to see you."
"Pryderi, you've grown so much."
"Come and take a seat here with Bran, gentle sister."
"My brothers, it's been too long."
"Sister, come and sit with me. Our Irish guest can wait until I hear your story."
And so Branwen sat with them, and the shadows lengthened as she told her tale. As she looked around the chairs at her brothers, she could see through her own tears that all of them were openly weeping. All of them, that is, except her brother Evnisien, who was scowling with a cloud of darkness roiling in his eyes.
"So, how did you get away from that weak-willed Irish king, Matholwch?"
"He let me go, Evnisien."
"No doubt as part of his scheme to save his own skin. We haven't heard the details of his offer yet, brother. Let's keep our peace and wait a while." "Well, I don't see what difference that would make. We have heard of all of the evil that has befallen our beloved sister."
"Peace, brother. Take a seat again. Nisien, be so good as to refill his cup, will you? Now, let us listen to the Irish ambassadors. Noble warriors, step forward if you would."
"Brother, you are sorely wounded. Can it not be healed?"
"Alas, my beloved sister, it is permanent. I shall be looking to Caradog to take over from me when we return home, if that is the wish of the people. More of that later. My treasured Branwen, let us find out more what these Irish men want."
"My lord King Matholwch, ruler of these lands. Ruler of these lands wishes to offer to build a house for you, my lord Bran. A house big enough for you to house yourself and all your host."
"Your sister is freed, great king. My lord Matholwch has freed her to come to you with no other conditions for her release. He wishes you to know that he would distress her no more."
"As well as having a permanent dwelling here on Erin's green fields, he offers to bow before you as a client king of yours. In that way, you would be high king of both the islands."
"And what if I don't want the kingship of Erin, What if I want your king's head on a silver platter? What would you say?"
"Brother, please stay your hand. Let me talk to you a moment."
"Of course. Come and sit next to me. What would you tell me, my sister?"
"Only this and nothing more, dear brother. I would beg you to consider the casualties that have died in your journey across Erin. How many men died for my sake in the battle you fought to get here? Not only that, but how many Irishmen have you killed along the way?
How much bloodshed has it cost the Island of the Mighty to come here and rescue me? Is it not time we called for peace and let the misdeeds of the past stay in the past?
Sister, where is my nephew Gwern? Is he being held hostage by that brutal king, Mathoric?
He would never harm the boy, sire. After all, Gwern is his son and will take over from our king.
If that is your will, my lord.
They speak truly, my lord brother. Gwern is away, in fosterage at the moment. He will not be harmed.
I say again, would you trust the word of these perfidious idiots?
Enough, Ethnician. My sister speaks true. But as to whether or not we seek the Irish king's head or accept his offer of the noble house, I do not know. We will take counsel on this. Please see that our Irish friends are quartered and well their needs met.
Well, I say there's no need for counsel, brother. Their actions have predetermined our response. Is that not so?
We will take counsel on this now, brother. That is my final word. Rest assured, your voice will be heard.
And so, Branwen and her fine brothers headed back into the mighty Bran's pavilion. Bran entered leaning on a stout stick and reclined in the Roman fashion on a long bench seat, propped up by cushions. Branwen's heart broke as she saw how low her brother had been driven. Young Brodery stood at his wounded uncle's side and passed him fruit and wine. The young man's ears were pinned well back so that he could hear each word that was spoken in council. Manawydan was the first to speak.
My lord, the Fae in this land are strong indeed, and they bleed for the damage that our war has caused on this land. I would sue for peace.
Our own Shining Ones are also strong, and the ties that bind us to this land will never be broken. Can you not see it with your sight, brother?
I can, my lord, but the Fae are all one in some ways, just as they are separate and individual. If one is in pain, that pain is felt by all. I urge you to think carefully on the Irish king's plan.
I will, gentle brother, I will. Now, who wishes to speak against this proposed peace?
And what of revenge, brother?
Well, that is true. He is, however, offering to open up his coffers to build this house for me. For us.
But what sort of honour price is that? And how would it help the families of those who have lost a father, a brother, a son or a daughter in these last few years of fighting?
It won't help them, Ethnician. There's nothing that can replace a loved one who dies in war. But we can call a halt to the fighting and stop any more fair and noble children of the Island of the Mighty dying.
That is true.
I can also tell you, brothers, that Matheluk does not have a host of warriors concealed in the woods. He wants an end to these disputes as quickly as possible. The flowering youth that are being forced to take to the field to fight are the last of the levies. There are no more of fighting age. Ethnician, would you take all the men from the Emerald Isle and consign them to the other world?
Well, that would certainly make them think twice about attacking us in the future, wouldn't it?
But as a client king of mine, he would be breaking our sacred bonds were he to attack us in the future.
Oh, you mean like the sacred bonds of marriage that he has already broken? We have punished him enough for that, I believe, brother. And now, advice like that is just your soft heart speaking, Nissian. There's no place in a council of war.
But this is no council of war. This is a council for peace, brother.
We have two islands here that have been ravaged by years of war, and neither side can field men older than young Prideri here.
I am still ready to fight if necessary.
I know that. I know that. The sad truth, though, is that fighting is no longer necessary. Now is the time for healing. My Lord King, your decision.
The High King sat up straight on his bench and went round the tired faces of those in the tent. Each person agreed that it was time to accept the Irish king's offer. All that is, except Ethnician, whose single, pah, was enough to tell Bran exactly what he thought of the arrangement. The Irish ambassadors were summoned the next morning, and as they all broke bread together, Bran told them that those of the Islands of the Mighty would accept the terms of peace offered by the Emerald Isle. The two islands could live in peace, and Bran would accept Matholoch's oaths of loyalty in the house when it was built. In our next episode, the House of Bran reaches completion and Evnissian makes a terrible decision.
I wonder what that is.
It's awful.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I should prepare myself for that then.
I would. We don't have a promo for you this week, but we do have some listener feedback.
Ooh.
Thank you, Gary and Ruth from Galicia. I'm in charge of Irish College Santiago. And it's wonderful to me to find this, your webpage and the, all the work you have done. I'm interested in here in the episode about the Book of Invasion, but didn't find it. Well, thank you. I will write to you anyway. Thank you. Have a nice day.
Thank you for your message, Rodrigo.
Rodrigo is asking where he can find the Book of Invasions in our shows.
The Book of Invasions is covered in the first 12 shows, so from number 1, Gods in the Mist, to show number 12, The Song of Amagin. A link to these shows can be found on CelticMythPodShow.com/episodes.
Thank you very much, Rodrigo. That's a superb question. We'd also like to send out another thank you to all those folks who are supporting us on Patreon at patreon.com/CelticMythPodcast. Your support really does make a difference. It helps us fund the necessary software that we use to bring the show to you.
If you would like to help to support our podcast and help us continue to bring you future shows, please do pop along to patreon.com/Celtic Myth Podcast and help us out.
And that's about all we have time for in this episode. So it's time now for some amazing music. What have you got for us?
Well, have a listen to the powerful music of the wonderful Jonathan Kershaw with his blood-thumping track, The Green Man, from his album, Bizarre Tales.
That sounds good. That sounds good. And we'll be back with you next week. So we wish you many blessings and say...
Húlvár.
been listening to the Celtic Myth Pod Show. If you enjoyed listening to this show, please come and support us on Patreon at patreon.com/Celtic Myth Podcast.
We hope you'll stay tuned for the next episode. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can email us at CelticMythShow@gmail.com or come and chat to us on social media. All of the links are on our contact page on our website at CelticMythPodShow.com.
We'd also like to send out a big shout of thanks to Coolan's Hounds for our theme music, and that's available at sfhounds.com.
This show is a Celtic Myth Show production.